Amen. Amen. We are in a good place tonight, I believe. And Alistair took a chance of giving me an opportunity to share the word tonight, but so I've got the mic, so it's too late now. Can somebody just take this fan away? It's going to blow my all my papers away, yeah. And I do need them. Amen. Alistair, you took a big chance, but I just want to say that you and Esther and your family, Matthew, have been like a fresh breeze of life in our lives, and we just appreciate you so much. Okay, I believe God has sent you here with a purpose, and great things are going to come from this over here. And really, I do believe that. And to Tara, I also want to say, you and Mika, you know, you guys put in a lot of effort, and you pay the price for something, yeah, that's going to mean a lot to me and my family and to many other families in time to come. So I just want to commend you guys for what you are doing here. So thank you. Thank you, guys. I'd really appreciate it because I know this is something for permanence. For permanence. Okay. Tonight, they were asking me beforehand, what is the title for my prayer for my sermon tonight. So I actually said alternative Christmas, but let's stick to that for now. It is in actual fact, because we're not having a Christmas service, this is going to be our Christmas service. Amen. Alternative Christmas. And one called Jesus Christ who paid an ultimate price. His vision to be fulfilled. I likened myself and my mother when I was small. She read me this story about Joseph in the Bible in Genesis. And I just loved Joseph, and everything that Joseph did was so wonderful. He did everything right. So what I did in my life, I likened myself unto Joseph. So my signature sermon was always about Joseph, 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 Joseph. Until the Holy Spirit one day came to me and said to me, listen, you're nothing like Joseph. You're nothing like Joseph. In actual fact, you're more like his brother Judah. Now, what is Judah like? Judah was a different character. He was a malicious liar, a cheat. He was a guy who did things wrong. And something happened in Judah's life that turned him from this liar, this deceitful person, into a man who would stand in the courts of Pharaoh begging for the life of his brother, saying, take me in his place, becoming a shadow and type of Jesus Christ. Judah became that, but he first had to meet up with a woman called Tamar. And his meeting with her changed his life and turned him into the man he should be. So I'm not going to read to you the story of Judah and Tamar is in Genesis 38. I'm going to paraphrase what happened there. You can read it in your own time. I'm going to paraphrase it to save some time. But Judah was a man who did everything wrong. He lied to his father, and his father was kept in the dark about the death of his brother for 20 years. He thought his brother was dead. And Judah was the one who suggested that they sell him into slavery. Not because he wanted to save his life, because he wanted the money. That was the kind of character that Judah was. He didn't feel sorry for him. For those of you that know the story of Joseph, Judah and his brothers were jealous of him because his father loved him the most. He was his father's favorite. So Joseph was his father's favorite, and Judah hated him. And his father suffered for 20 years by the lies. And I think after a while, Judah felt guilty. He felt guilty about what happened there. And what did he do? Did he go and confess? No, he didn't confess. He ran away. He ran away, and in chapter 38, it tells you that shortly after Joseph was sold into slavery, Judah went down to Adullam, where he married Shua's daughter. Now, the sin here was that he married an unbelieving, pagan, idol-worshipping woman. And he had three sons with her. Three sons, Onan, and Shelah. After a while, these sons grew up, and the first son, married a woman called Tamar. He was an evil man, and the Bible actually says here in Genesis 38 that God killed him. But in those days, you know, everything that any death that happened was allocated to God. But he was an evil man, and the Bible says he slew him. Now that word slew in the Hebrew actually means that he was someone deserving of death. And the Bible says he slew him. So Onan died before Tamar and him could have any children. Now the custom of those days was that if somebody died, if the elder brother died without having an heir, what would happen is the widow would be given to the next brother in line so that there could be an heir for the firstborn. This child would not be regarded as the child of the younger brother, but it would be regarded as the child of the older brother and would have the rights of the older brother. In other words, would be the heir of the lineage. So Onan was given Tamar, and the Bible here says that Onan was an evil man and he refused to have children with Tamar. Now this is a very X-rated part of the Bible, so because my children are here, I'm not going to tell you all the detail. But basically what it says, he didn't want to have children with his woman. So God slew him. Now you can see the first brother marries Tamar, he dies. The second brother marries Tamar, he dies. What does Judah think now? He says, this is a black widow. Now the custom was now that this lady would have to be given to Shelah. And Judah says, No. He's too young to die. Amen? He's too young to die. So he says to her, basically he does say that, he's too young. Let's wait until he's older, then I'll give him to you. So Tamar goes away with this promise, she's going to get a husband to have a family. But Judah doesn't do what he said. Time goes by and yes, Tamar, she's got no family. And she wants a family. She wants a family, but Judah doesn't follow on his promise. So what happens? She decides to take matters in her own hands. In the meantime, Judah's wife dies and he's mourning and the whole thing. And he goes off with his friends. He goes sheep shearing, skaapskeer. For those of you that know what sheep shearing is, a very difficult word to say, sheep shearing. Okay, he goes off sheep shearing and there he is off on the road and he comes back and on the side of the road he sees a woman sitting on the side of the road with a veil. Now what does a man think with a woman sitting on the side of the road with a veil? He thinks she's a harlot. So he propositions her and he says to her, will you lay with me? And she says, yes. And they make a deal that he will give her a goat for this act. But he doesn't have it with him. So she says, okay, we can do it. But you need to give me, and I brought a prop, your staff and your signet. I actually brought it in, I put it in my pocket, yeah? Your signet. In those days, I'm putting it over here, like Jan. Remember Jan? His signet, they would usually, in those days, they would hang it around their necks. That would be their authority to do business, would be by the signet. And his staff. She said, give me your staff and your signet, and I'll keep it until you bring that kid goat. So they do their deal, and he's off. And as soon as he gets back to his camp, he sends off this kid goat to her. But when his servants come back to where she was, there's no woman there. She's not there. And they ask the people around there, where's this woman? Where's this harlot? They say, there's never been a harlot here. So they go off and time goes by, you know, 3 months go by, the matter is forgotten. But something happens in Judah's house. Suddenly, his daughter-in-law is pregnant. And they see this woman. And the custom of those days was, if somebody did that out of wedlock, she had to be burnt. So she was brought to Judah to be burnt. And yes, this woman, she's brought to Judah, but she came prepared. And she said, the man who did this to me, Yazi's staff and Yazi's signet. This is the man that did it to me. This is the man. And Judah immediately knows that's his staff, that's his signet. And that's what happened between Judah and Tamar. Immediately, He knows. And he says, this woman is more righteous than me. This woman is more righteous than me. He admits his sin. And that is what changed Judah. If I were a Jew, that would be the end of the story. But 6 months later, born to this woman Tamar, is twins, Perez and Zerah. Perez and Zerah is born to this woman. This story of Judah and Tamar is even more significant to us to yet today than the story of Joseph. Because born to Tamar is Perez. Is Perez. If I were a Jew, I would say that's the end of the story. Everybody got what they deserved. Sin came its course. And Judah paid a price which was higher than he was prepared to pay. He paid a price for the sin. So if I was a Jew, that's the end of the story. But you see, I'm a Christian. I want to know, why did God take this story of Judah and Tamar and put it slap bang in the middle of the story of one called Joseph? Why did God put that story in there? Why is it there? What is the significance of this? Why was God so angry when Onan did not want to have a relationship with Tamar? Why was God so angry when Ur was so wicked? Why was God? Because God had a vision. He had a plan. He had a plan. He had a plan. And one thing I've learned, if God's got a plan, you don't get in the way of God's plan. You don't get in the way of God's plan. Why is this so significant? You see, I'm a Christian, so I'm asking all these questions. What is going on here in this story? What is God planning here? You see, I'm a Christian, and the answer is found, and you were very prophetic when you said Matthew is going to preach here tonight, because I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 1. Let's read it. This is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abram. Abram begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. By Tamar. Let's just lead up to there. Can you see? In 14 generations of men, there are four women mentioned. Four. One of them is Tamar. All of those women, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Tamar are of equally bad reputation. Each one of them have got a bad reputation. And yet Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, chooses to call them mother. In his genealogy, in 14 generations of men, there are four women mentioned, and one of them is Tamar. God is giving us a message. What is God's message to us? What's he saying to us? He, as a Christian, and you were speaking about heart, about our heart, I can see in this God's exposed heart showing that no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter where you were last night, no matter what you did last night, he's there for you. As long as there's a breath in you, there is hope, there's life. So what's God saying to us? Yeah, he's saying, let us learn to be humble. Let's learn to be repentant. Let's learn to forgive. Let's not repay evil for evil. You see, if we refuse to forgive, what are we doing? What are we doing when we refuse to forgive? We keep hurts in our heart. We keep lying deep inside of us, these hurts. And that's not good for your health. Not good for your physical, emotional, or spiritual side. If you cannot learn to forgive, you will never get what God is trying to say here and to learn His forgiveness. Where's that birdie of mine? Amen. It's a bat, yeah. Amen. Let's learn to forgive and really mean it. You see, out of the scandal and the mess of Judah's life, and the scandal and mess with a woman called Tamar, comes something beautiful. You see, in time, God will make all things beautiful. Who would have thought out of this mess would come the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself? Let me read to you some of the names of our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, the Lamb of God, the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Do you see that? That God intended Judah to be His father in that lineage. Even though he was a bad man. Even though he was doing things wrong. You know, I do not come from a wonderful background. I did a lot of things wrong. Some of you sitting here, you know, you've been redeemed, you've been saved from bubblegum. I've been saved from bad things. So maybe I'm more grateful than what you are. Or maybe you are grateful because of the bubblegum, but I'm not worried about that. What I'm saying is I've had a rough life. And God has brought me out of that. Amen. So I want all of us all to stand right now. Let's all stand right now. I want every eye closed, every head bowed, no one looking around. I just want to ask you this question here. Do you know this one called Jesus Christ? Is He the Lord of your life? Do you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you know Jesus? If that's you and you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, I just want you to lift your hand and I'll pray with you. If that is you, you say, I need this Lord. I need this Jesus Christ in my life. I want to pray with you. I know most of you, but maybe there's somebody here that needs Him tonight. Amen. Amen. I just want us to pray this prayer together. Just pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank You that You've redeemed my life. Thank You, Jesus, that You've saved me. Thank You, Lord, that I can have Your life because my life was a mess. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Amen and amen.